the Lord a cheer.
Hallelujah. Praise you.
Praise God.
This is Friday. Yeah, yesterday I thought it was Wednesday. Thought I was going to have three more days to wind this thing up. Then I thought I only had today to wind it up. Steve told me I had today tomorrow, so praise God. Hallelujah. What do I know? I know Jesus. That's all I need to know. Amen? I don't need to know what time it is except soon. What time is it, Brother Richard? Soon. That'd be neat, wouldn't it? What time is it, brother? Soon. I like that. I think I'll do that someday. Somebody will say to me, hey, buddy, what time is it? Soon. Think I'm crazy now? Praise God, they'll know I'm crazy. I like that. Soon for what? Soon for Jesus. Jesus, soon. Praise God. You free? That's what these things are about. I like this. There's one spot here I can get and nobody can hear me. You know, I know we're in Matthew, but something just hit me. There it goes again. Nope, it says it's good. It's just a dead field in here with these speakers. They suck in the radio waves. Turn this down just a hair. There you go. All right, in 2 Thessalonians. I think in chapter 2. I don't have my Bible open, so somebody's going to have to verify this. And it says, I believe, I beseech thee, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. Is that what it says? I got it right. Praise God. Amen. I beseech thee, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's coming, him coming in the air, not to the earth, in the air, and our gathering together unto him. Now you see people going running around out there today teaching this teaching about a rapture. Jesus is coming and he's going to rapture right up into the heavens. And we're going to have sweet time with Jesus. That ain't the way it is, church. First of all, if you read on down in there, you see it's not a she that is taken out of the world. It's a he. Not a she. The Antichrist, it says, cannot be revealed. That man of sin, that a perdition, cannot be revealed until he that withholdeth, he that holds back. The word there in Elizabethan is... Look at that word, suffer little children to come unto me. When I was a kid, I used to think that meant beat the fire out of them. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Beat them. Yeah, that's what I thought, man. I didn't know any better. Till I realized suffer means to allow, to let. See? And when it says, he that now letteth will let... until he be taken out of the way, the word let or hope. So what it's talking about is there is a he somewhere. And this he is what's holding back the Antichrist. Antichrist cannot come as long as this he is here. And when this he is taken out of the way, then the Antichrist will come. Now there are some that say the he is the Holy Ghost. And I would venture to say that if you took time, there it goes. If you took time to read the scriptures, you'll find that it cannot be the Holy Ghost. At no time did Jesus say the Holy Ghost was the salt of the earth. Did he? All right, secondly, there can be no miracles without the Holy Ghost. There can be no prophecy without the Holy Ghost. There can be no salvation without the Holy Ghost. There can be no raising of the dead or anything without the Holy Ghost. All the power of God is through the Holy Ghost. Amen? Comes from, forth from the Holy Ghost. And through the tribulation, people are going to be saved. There are going to be miracles. There's going to be prophecies. There's going to be all kinds of things from God going on during the tribulation. If the Holy Ghost was the one holding back the Antichrist and the Holy Ghost was taken out, then how could any of these things take place? They could not. So the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will be here during the tribulation. So who is the He? It's the same He that Jesus said, "Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." It's the same door John the Revelator saw when he said, "Behold, I saw a door opened in heaven." It's the same people that go through that door. It's called the Church of Philadelphia. That body of Christ that holds back the Antichrist will go through that door into heaven. Then the Antichrist will be revealed. Watch this. In order to do that, you've got to be free. Because it says clearly, "Now I beseech thee, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," and what? "Our gathering together unto him." Man, this woke me up when the Lord showed me this. He's not going to grab you by the head of the hair and jerk you into heaven. It ain't going to happen that way. He's not going to just grab you and float you up. You have to gather to him. You have to go to him. When you hear the trumpet, you've got to go to him. And you can't go to him if you're shackled to this planet. You'll be like them hot air balloons that are staked out. You're flown a little bit, but you ain't going nowhere. You got to be able to cut that shackle so you can go on and go to it. And it's time that this church, this ministry, and some of you people in this ministry get rid of the shackles and get free so you can go on to serve the Lord. It's interesting to look and see who's here tonight. It's always interesting. God always has the ones here he wants here. This meeting, evidently, is for you. It's not for some of the others that are here. That were here. Thank you. We have one that's not here tonight, but we know why she's not here tonight. She's going to get a tape of this, so she's not missing anything. To miss a thing. But there are others that this message isn't for. This message is for you. Because God wants you free. Now we see, we've gone through this Matthew 13. We've looked at the seed and the sower. We've seen how the sower is the dude that goes out and throws the seed. He doesn't worry about where it goes. He doesn't worry about where it lands. He doesn't care or worry about what's happened to it. He just throws it. And that is the job of every believer, is to sow the word of God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, the word is the gospel, you sow the seed, which is the gospel. And you're not to be concerned with who hears it or what they do with it. It's none of your business what they do with it. If they take it and throw it in the trash, it's not your problem. It's not your concern. That's between them and God. If they take it and hold it close to them and love it and preserve it and grow in it, then praise God. But it still has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ and nothing to do with you. Amen. It has everything to do with Jesus. People walk around and they're so afraid and they're so fearful and they're all caught up in themselves that they don't do anything. They're in chains. If the Lord were to call, sound his trumpet tonight. If he were to sound the trumpet tonight, would you be free to meet him in the clouds? Would you be free? Many of you would not be. Many of you would not be. But our desire, my hope, is that you will be. Isn't that neat how that works? It's just perfect timing. All right. So we went through the seed and the sower. The sower throws the seed. He cares not where it lands. Some falls on the wayside. They're so into themselves. They're so stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and stupid that the devil just takes it away from them and they never hear it. Some fall on the rocks. Falls on the rocks. They grow up for a while. They're happy. They're excited. Everything goes good. Then all of a sudden, something happens. God doesn't perform like they think he should. He didn't do the puppet routine. He didn't dance when they whistled. Lord, I played the banjo and you didn't do a jig. What's wrong with you? And they get mad at God because God didn't do for them what they thought he should do. And then they get mad and they fade away. I've known a bunch like that. I've known a bunch of them like that. And you just, some of them you just have compassion for. You ask God, just dump a little water on them, Lord. Let's see if we can revive them. Amen. And then another way of looking at that same thing is they're offended at the word. They're offended at something that is said that they need to get right in their lives. They get mad at it and they tighten up and that's it. And they go on their own way. Now, the vast majority are those that fall among the seeds of the thorns and the seed that falls among the thorns and thistles. Now, remember, we're talking to Adam's seed here. The world here, the soil, is Adam and his children. And the word of God being the seed the sower throws. So you've got Adam's seed that's like pavement, you've got Adam's seed that's like rocks, you've got Adam's seed like the weed garden, and then you've got Adam's seed that is like the good ground. And the vast majority of Adam's seed is like that weed garden. They're so caught up with the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and not produce fruit. And we've talked about the cares of the world till you're probably tired of hearing me talk about the cares of the world. But I want to make sure you understand it's fear. Fear and worry and mental anguish, that's what care is. And when the preachers aren't preaching it to you and heaping it on you, you're getting it from one another. You don't believe me? Watch this. Hi, sister, how you doing? God bless you. Take care now. Say to me. Okay, you're not going to say. That's. I don't know. She says, this guy tripped me up twice last night. I ain't trusting him tonight. He tripped me up twice last night. I ain't trusting him. I already pulled this one on her the other night. Most of the time somebody comes up and says, take care of you, you say, okay. Isn't that right? And sometimes you even say, thanks. But look at the sentence. Take is a verb. Care is a noun. Care in that sentence as a noun is fear, worry, mental anguish. When somebody says take care, they're really telling you to take fear. Take worry. Take mental anguish. And you and me and others not knowing anybody said, okay, thank you. And by doing that, you have instilled a law of God. The Word of God says, out of the mouth of two or more witnesses shall anything be established. That's the law of God. Two people say a thing, it's established. So if somebody says, take care, and you say, okay, you've established that fear is going to come to you. And Satan is more than happy to provide the fear. More than happy. They don't know what it means anywhere, son. Not just America. So when the preachers aren't heaping worry on you and fear about your unworthiness and your lack of knowledge and understanding, and you just don't know enough, so you just sit there and listen to me and just do whatever I tell you, you'll be all right. Yeah, Bible says, they that are baptized, sit in the pews, pay their tithes, and don't do anything are saved. Doesn't say that. You preach the gospel. You become a sower. If you believe God, if you believe Jesus, you're going to have the love of God in you. And the love of God is going to move you to share that love with others. And if you want to sink your teeth into that love, if you want to get a handle on that love, if you want to grab hold of that love and get a visual of it, I can help you do that. That love is called Jesus. The love of God is Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? The love of God is Jesus. Not only is he the Word, he is the personification of the love of God in a human form, and he came down here and revealed God to the people. Took away our sins, ascended up into heaven, and sent his Spirit back with that love to the church. And if you have that love in you, if you have the love of God in you, you will reject the weeds. You will have an automatic anti-weed eater right there in your pocket somewhere. And when those weeds try to come around, it's going to jump out and start snapping at them. You're not going to accept the fears and the worries. And if you have that love of God in you, you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to go out and sow that seed. You're going to tell people about Jesus Christ. You're going to do it. Even if a good TV show was on TV and you've been waiting for 3 months to watch it, an opportunity comes up to preach the gospel, you're going to let that TV show go and go preach that gospel. Because it's going to be the most important thing in your life. Nothing else is important than preaching the gospel. Now, I know I've heard some people say, nothing's more important than seeing people saved. That's a weed. That is a weed. because it puts the emphasis on you. It makes you the one that's important. It's all about you. See, that's what happened to Jimmy Swaggart. Big old ad in his paper. Big two-page ad, big picture of himself. It said, send your money to Jimmy Swaggart. Jimmy Swaggart saves souls. I read that. I heard the hammer fall. Boom. Jimmy Swaggart didn't save souls. God saves souls. Amen. Somebody said to me, oh, Brother Richard, when Jimmy Swaggart fell, I lost my faith. I said, praise God. What? I said, praise God. Your faith isn't supposed to be in Jimmy Swaggart. It's supposed to be in Jesus. Now if you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you can have faith in him. He never falls. People come up to me and they say, oh, Brother Richard, I really believe in you. I hope not. I better not catch you believing in me. I'll kick some of you. But why? Because you're guaranteeing my fall. Think about it. If God loves you, he's not going to share the glory with me. He's not going to let you make an idol out of me. If he loves you, he's going to, for your sake and my sake, going to make me fall. I'd just soon not do that. Thank you very much. Let's just cut this short. Say, believe on Jesus Christ. Don't worry about me. Amen. You believe on Jesus Christ, I believe on Jesus Christ. Together we'll believe on Jesus Christ and we'll know that each other are sinners and we ain't going to worry about it. See, that's another freedom. I'm free to stand up here and say, I'm a sinner. You know how many years? You remember me in the beginning, don't you, Robin? I wouldn't dare say to anyone I was a sinner. What? Man, I was the most fake righteous person you ever want to see. And if you didn't think I was, I'd tell you. Amen? Wouldn't permit you to ask questions. You better not ever question anything I got to say. Boy, I would nail you. Terrible situation. God delivered me from all that. Hallelujah. He set me free from that. Now I'm just Richard. Flat my tater trap for the Lord. Sometimes I do right and sometimes I do wrong, but God is always right and he's always there to fix it. When I make a mistake, he takes care of it. And that's good. I don't make as many as I used to. I hope one day not to make any at all for 5 minutes. An hour would be nice. You say, you can't even go an hour without doing something wrong? No, I can't even go an hour. I used to think I could go 12. And I realized the very fact that I thought I was thinking that I was doing right was wrong. So I caught myself. You see people, you say, what an idiot. That's wrong. Little thoughts about people that are not nice are wrong. Huh? So you can kick the cat and think about it. It's still wrong. We got a cat down in Somerville, South Carolina. I constantly think about kicking. I thought of all kinds of ways to get rid of that cat. And every time I start looking at that cat a certain way, my wife starts whimpering, my daughter starts crying, and they start, oh, Daddy, no, Davey, please don't hurt the cat. I hate that cat. I hate that cat almost as much as I hate Satan. They're pretty much the same. I ain't even going to tell you because some idiot named that cat, and it was definitely not named right. Trusty. Yeah, I could trust that cat to drive me up the wall. And I think thoughts about that cat I shouldn't. I mean, you know, it's God's creature. Maybe a little perverted, but it's God's creature. You can't go through this life in this flesh and think perfect thoughts constantly. It'd be great if you could. I haven't found anyone that could. I've had a few that said they could. I went and prayed about it. The Lord said they were lying. The only perfect man was Jesus. But if you're going to be the ground that the seed fell on and it produced fruit, then you got to get rid of the fear. You got to get rid of the worry. You got to get rid of the pride. Knocking down these walls in us. Not out there, in here. Get rid of the pride. Because pride is what lets the fear stand. And the worry stand and all the other garbage. Get rid of it. You got a ball and chain on you. The chain has got links in it. Fear, worry, mental anguish, insecurity. These are the links of the chain, but the ball that holds you to the ground is pride. Get rid of the ball. The links will fall off on their own. You hear me? Get rid of the ball, the links will fall off on their own. That's Adam's seed now we're talking about. Parable was the wheat and the tares. Here, the world that the wheat was planted in is Adam's seed. The first example of this was Eve. But we're not going to teach on that tonight. You go study that on your own. Adam's seed, God put his elect in. Many of the prophets of the Old Testament, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elisha, many of those old prophets, God preordained, he foreordained and predestinated them. He had them prepared in the very beginning before he ever created the second heaven and earth. Had them already set up and ready to go. And he dropped them out in the times that were appointed. In this he knows all. In this he is all knowing. In this he knows everything he has done and has planned and knows exactly how it's going to come out. No surprises. In his elect seed, he knows it. But in Adam's seed, gotta wait and see what happens. God does not know what you're going to do with his word. He doesn't know whether you're going to get up and take it or not. He'll do everything in his power short of breaking his own word to help you take it and do with it, but it's up to you. Now, you know why people don't want to accept this? You know why people don't want to accept this, Ricky Baldwin? Because if they accept it, it means they have to take responsibility. You see? Man, it hurt me. You know, I used to believe like everybody else. God knows everything. You know, he knows exactly what He knows all my thoughts, knows what I'm going to do tomorrow. Why should I have to worry about it? God knows exactly what's going to happen. What am I doing here, folks? Throwing down my responsibility to serve God and his word correctly. It's not my problem, it's his problem. He knows it all, so why bother? I want to take you to a place, Jeremiah chapter 19. In my Bible. It's in yours. Sometimes it hides. Well, we're going to start with verse 1. I want you to read this and just sink your teeth around this. I want you to look at this. This will surely shake some people up. Everybody there now? Jeremiah chapter 19. Thus saith the Lord. What's that mean? God speaking. This ain't Jeremiah's opinion. This is God speaking here. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. Who's going to do this? God is going to do this. Who's saying it? God is saying it. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings, offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. God is clearly saying here, it never occurred to him that they would do this. It never occurred to him. He never thought of it happening. Now you can argue, you can fuss, you can wiggle, you can complain, you can do anything you want, but you can't get away from what the Word says. The Word says, it never came into my mind. That means he never thought of it. Isn't that right? That's right. We go on another way of looking at this. When God created the first heavens and the first earth, Lucifer was perfect. It never dawned on God that Lucifer was going to sin. He wasn't prepared for it. He wasn't prepared for it. And when Lucifer sinned, God couldn't kill him. He didn't have death. He hadn't created it. So in his new plan, he had to have death so he could get rid of this stuff. Let me show you something. Does the scripture say, or does it not, that God will have no fellowship with darkness? Does it say that light hath no fellowship with darkness? All right, if God has no light, no fellowship in darkness, if God is light and has no fellowship in darkness, then why are you trying to make him in darkness? Why do you try to make him a part of darkness? God doesn't know what's going on in darkness because he has nothing to do with it. He won't be a part of it. When you're in darkness, look and watch this. When you're in darkness, he doesn't even know who you are. He doesn't even know you. Why do you think Jesus can say, depart me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you? If you are in pride, I don't care if you claim to believe on Jesus Christ. You can claim to believe him. You can go out here and preach. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. You can cast out devils. You can do all these things. You can build churches. You can do whatever. But if you are in darkness, he does not know you. Because he has nothing to do with darkness. He has nothing to do with the children of darkness. He has only to do with light. And the children of light. Which brings us back to 13. Matthew. Now, there's a couple parables here I want you to see. Tonight we're going to start on verse 31. Now, you understand, we went through the tares and the wheat. God put his seed in Adam's seed in the earth. Satan put his seed in the earth. God's elect grow up and obey him. Satan's seed grows up and obeys Satan. Both for the purpose of bringing Adam's seed to their side. When Adam's seed hears the word of God and receives it, he gives them power to become the sons of God. Which is a whole other thing. We'll get into that someday. I got to try to stay on track. Another put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. In this parable, the mustard seed is Jesus. The least of all the herbs. He was the greatest. In heaven, he was the greatest. And he made himself to be the least. And was planted in the earth. And grows up to be a large tree where there is a place to hide and be protected and to live and to prosper in that tree. The birds of the air that lodge in that tree that it talks about here, is it hard enough to find it and get in it? The birds here are Adam's seed. This is about Jesus. He is that herb that grows to be the greatest. And it's about us lodging in him. Lodging in him. You can only live in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're not in him, you're dead. You're dead. As far as God's concerned, you're dead. All right. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. This is the flip side. Here, the lump is you. You're a lump. Normally, when you hear about leaven, it's usually considered talking about sin. This is the only parable I know of where leaven does not represent sin. Here, leaven represents the gospel of Jesus Christ. It represents Jesus himself. You are a lump. And if Jesus is in you, he will saturate you. You understand what I'm saying? He will saturate you. Who in here has ever baked bread? Raise your hand if you're a female or a man or whatever. You ever baked bread? Okay. Now, when you bake bread, you get the dough ready, unless you're one of these newfangled fancy women that put it in a bread maker, walk off and leave it. You take your bread and you put all your ingredients together. You take your yeast, which is your leaven. You put it in the bread, you knead it together, and then you put it in a bowl and stick it in the freezer. No? You cover it and let it rise in the freezer. Oh, it's got to be warm. Oh, so if it's cold, the yeast ain't going to do nothing. Well, what are you doing in some of these dead churches then? That's right. Some of these churches are freezers out here, man. They're killing the yeast. It can never grow. The freedom of the Lord is the warmth. When you're in the freedom of the Lord, you're free to grow, and He's free to grow in you. But as long as you're around these people that won't let you do anything and won't let you speak and are constantly telling you what you can't do and how you can't do it, they are killing the yeast in you. If you want the yeast to grow, get you in a yeast-friendly environment. There you go. Get out of Vermont and get into, go to Texas. I remember when I first came to Vermont, some woman said to me, "Well, this is, we're God's frozen chosen." I said, "Lady, you're so frozen, God doesn't want nothing to do with you. But here, don't worry, He's got a fire called hell that'll thaw you out." She wasn't too impressed with me. I didn't care. It's the truth. I always said Vermont's a beautiful state. Just get rid of the people. Of course, she could say that about South Carolina, too. And Florida. Florida used to be a nice place. Now you can't go. It's not known so nice anymore. That's right. All the Yankees are down here. It's kind of fun to laugh a little bit, but it's sad. You got to have the fire in your own belly. You got to get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Then the warmth is in you. It doesn't matter where your body is. And you got to get free, and you got to get rid of the shackles, and keep your eyes on Jesus for that warmth in you. Then, Jesus will grow until He just starts oozing right out of you. And what happens when He oozes out of you? People start getting healed. People start getting delivered. You can walk in the hospital room and a person you don't even talk to gets healed. Do you remember that, Ricky Bowen? Where'd Ricky Bowen go? Hiding from me, huh? Praise God. Kind of surprised you, didn't it? Surprised everybody. You see, it's all about Jesus. It's about giving Him the glory. All right. I'm going to do some skipping tonight and do some other stuff tomorrow, and I don't know what I'm doing. Now, I've talked so much about this seed and the tares and wheat and the tares and everything else that we don't need to go through a lot of these verses. Let's go down to verse 44. Nope, let me back up. Let me read two, three verses out of that about the wheat and the tares. Verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. You see that? All things that offend and which do iniquity. Offend who? God. Or offend the Word. man about the word offends God. People saying there's something when they're not offends God. No, it's not just that. But full of people. The churches are full of people that offend God. What else does it say here? They shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do or that do iniquity. We found out the other night, what is iniquity? Pride. Them that do iniquity are those that what they do is motivated out of pride. You got two women sitting here. One of them go out and feed the hungry. And it would be a sin. The other could go out and feed the hungry, and it would be righteousness. Both doing exactly the same act. And to one it could be a sin, and the other it could be righteousness. What makes the difference? The heart attitude. If the one is doing it out of love to serve God, it is righteousness. If the other is doing it because of their righteousness, their pride, they want to look good, they want to impress God, any part of anything like that, to them then it is sin. It is so, I cannot impress upon you how important it is to get rid of this pride. Remember, Jesus said the majority, when you look up that word many, many shall say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and have we done that? That word many means the majority. The majority of people claiming to be Christians are not going to make it because of pride. At least they're not going to make it in the catching away. Got to get rid of that pride. Got to get rid of it. Now I want to throw another one at you. If I hadn't got you mad yet, let me see if I can throw one other to you. See the word angel? See that word angel? That's going to be some angels coming down from heaven and doing this. I'm not saying they're not involved, but they're not the only ones involved. God's messengers and apostles are also called angels in the Bible. And God uses his messengers to separate and to divide. You know when that scripture where Paul says, be careful to entertain strangers, for many have entertained angels unawares. That word angels there is angelos. It translates angel, apostle, and messenger. You got a bunch of charismaniacs running around today saying, oh, I just saw an angel the other day. I know it was an angel. He was just the sweetest thing, and he just thought, oh, it was so great. And blah, 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 blah. Show me one example in the New Testament where an angel appeared to anyone that everybody didn't know it. Give me an example. Every time an angel appeared to someone in the New Testament, there was no shadow of any doubt that was an angel. Amen. Sometimes it was so obvious the guy would fall down at his feet and lie as though dead. Huh? Scared to death. You're going to see an angel. Let me tell you something. If you see an angel, you're going to see an angel. Yeah. John Stottmiller at my house one day. And he was talking a bunch of stupid stuff. And, you know, what do you do for protection? What do you do for this? I said, my angels take care of me. And he laughed. And I said, Lord, open his eyes and let him see him. And next thing you know, this guy was scared to death. Because he saw those angels. And they ain't little. Their waist is about as high as the side of that tent. And when they're walking around with them big old 12-foot swords, I'm going to tell you right now, you see one of those guys, you're going to know it ain't some boy. What Paul was talking about, entertaining strangers, he was talking about God might send you a messenger or an apostle. And if you don't know it, it's going to stink to be you. That's what that's all about. Oh, Brother Davy, I just saw an angel the other day and he fixed my car. Yeah, okay. And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now I want you to look at the next one. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Where's God's kingdom? In the light. God's kingdom is not in darkness. He has no fellowship in darkness, is that correct? He only has fellowship with light. So if he only has fellowship with light, what does he know of darkness? Nothing. And I hope somebody's starting to see some of this stuff. All right, let's look at the next one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Here the field is the earth. The man that finds the treasure is God. The treasure is you. You are the treasure. You are. And God sold everything he had so he could purchase the field. And thereby have you. That's almost worthy shouting about. God gave everything he had. He gave his own son for you. Notice what he did with the treasure. What does it say he did? He hid it. He hid it until he was ready to come and get it. I like that. He hid it till he was ready to come and get it. Some of you people, he's hidden in places that I wouldn't have ever thought of. If I was the devil, I'd have never thought of going down to places you guys hung out. And he hid you in. Maybe that's why he put him there. When he hid Moses out, where did he hide him? Right under the devil's nose. Right in. When he hid Jesus, where did he hide him? In Egypt. You better be careful the next time you see a prostitute and you start condemning that prostitute to hell. She may be one of God's treasures hidden from the devil until he's ready to pull her out. You better be careful the next time you see a drunkard or a drug addict. You may not know it. That could just possibly want to be one of God's treasures he's got hidden out there until he's ready to pull them out. That's why the church didn't want anything to do with me. Churches didn't want anything to do with me before I was saved. They didn't want to have anything to do with Ricky Baldwin before he was saved. Everybody wanted something to do with Steve. They didn't want anything to do with Francisco or John. Because he had us hidden in fields that the world didn't like. Are y'all understanding this? Because you got to understand this parable to get the next one. To get the next one, you got to get this one. God is the man who finds treasure and buys the field that he had, son. And Jesus died on the cross. And now God owns the field. And his treasure's hidden in it, and he can take it out in his own leisure. Amen? All right. Look at the next one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. Huh? That is what I'm reading. That's where we're going to have to wait for this train. Why don't you pause that tape for a minute? All right. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In this parable, you are the merchant man. Jesus is that pearl of great price. And if you're going to own that pearl of great price, you've got to give up everything. You have to get rid of everything that holds you back. Does that mean you go out and sell your house and give it to me? No. Nothing can hold you back. You got to get rid of the fear. You got to get rid of the pride. You got to get rid of the chains that bind you. You've got to get rid of all of that. And then count those things that you do have as though they are his to use to his glory. There's nothing wrong with money. Money's not evil. Jesus never said the root of all evil is money. He never said that. I'm glad he never said that. What he said is the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. Why? Because out of the love of money, it's pride. It's just another face of pride. There's nothing wrong with having money. It's what you do with it. How you use it. How you look at it. I've got a tire iron. I can beat you to death with it, or I can change a tire. Huh? A tire iron just sitting there. I can beat you to death with it. That would be evil, right? I mean, we all agree with that. That would not be a very nice thing to do. Or I can change a tire with it. Huh? It's a tool. The things you have in this life are to be tools to use for God. If your mindset is like that and your attitude is that way, then there's nothing wrong with having them. If you have them to make you look good or to make you powerful or make you better than somebody else, you got a problem. But this second parable is very simple. You are the merchant man. You're looking for something important. when you come and find Jesus, if you want Jesus, you got to get rid of everything. You have got to strip yourself clean to have him. And that's fair. I mean, that's fair. Watch, let me show you how fair God is. You remember Abraham? Didn't God tell Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? Huh? Didn't he do it? And let me tell you something about Isaac. He wasn't no little tiny kid. Like the little Bible stories tell us. He wasn't any little kid. He was about 21, 22 years old. He was a grown man by our standards. By the Bible standards, you're not a grown man till you're 30. This man, this Isaac, was 20, 21 years old. Maybe 19, but he was a big boy. And his dad was over 120. I'd say Isaac could take Abraham anytime he wanted to. And Isaac allowed his father to bind him and put him on that altar. And I mean Abraham, as far as he was concerned, Isaac was dead meat. He was sacrificed. But you see, Abraham had something going for him. Abraham remembered what God said. And he knew that if he put Isaac on that altar and he died, God would have to raise him up from the dead for God to fulfill his prophecy. He was trusting God. And God provided a ram in the bramble bush as a substitute. Amen? And that ram was Jesus. You hear me? But I got news for you. God never makes a covenant that he doesn't bind himself to the same covenant. When he bound himself to Abraham in that covenant, where he walked up and down the midst of the fires, He said to Abraham, if I break this covenant or change it in any way, I'm going to become as a sacrifice. And if you break it, you're going to become as a sacrifice. That's fair. So when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, God knew he was going to have to do the same thing. Abraham had to sacrifice his son. It was only righteous that God would sacrifice his. But there was none greater than God. So who could take away the sacrifice? No one. Whereby Abraham had to be in his heart sacrifice his son, God gave a substitute. No, it wasn't a goat. No, it wasn't a goat. It was a ram, which is a sheep. Scapegoat is something else that we'll get into. Maybe I'll teach you on that someday. Abraham was given a substitute because God was greater. But when it was God's turn to sacrifice, there was none greater, and his son died on a cross. But he was resurrected from the dead and liveth forever and ever. Amen. The beginning, the end, all things. There's none greater. And if you're going to have him, you see, you got to have the same covenant. You see, there's the two covenants right there. That's the two covenants. The covenant between God and Abraham is right there in those parables. God does it, you have to do it. God sold all that he has to buy you. Now you sell all you have to buy him. The two covenants. It's the covenant right there. So simple. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. If you really want to understand what church is about, I mean church out here, this type, if you really want to know what it's about, it's a net. Get them all in there. We'll sort them out later. Huh? You're not supposed to sort them before they get in there. It's not your job to sort them at the door. Oh, you're good enough. You can come in. Ooh, you stay out. Oh, you're welcome. Oh, yes, you're welcome. Oh, we don't want you here. You understand what I'm saying? The church group meeting, the meeting of the church is supposed to be a gathering. And if you are good bait, you're going to gather in a lot of fish. Some good fish and some bad fish. God is going to take them and separate them. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The net ain't full yet, folks. Praise God. The net ain't full yet. But when it's full, the separation is going to start. Now, there's always, you know, before a thing can be done physically, it has to be done spiritually. Now, a type and shadow of this took place in Israel. At the cross, at 70 AD. A type and shadow took place at the cross. And just after, when Israel was cut off and the Gentiles were brought in, that was a type and shadow. There's going to be another type and shadow coming up right now. That's where the Gentiles are cut off and the Jews are grafted back in. Sorry about that if you didn't know that. The Jews will be saved. God said they would. They will be. But when the Church of Philadelphia is taken out, the age of the Gentile stops right there. And the Jews are brought back in. The age of the Gentiles stopped for a season. Of the Jews stopped for a season in 70 AD. And the age of the Gentiles began. Now the church has come full circle, and the church today is no different than the Jews were when Jesus came. Hear the word when he came. And Christians won't hear the word today. Too much pride, too much arrogance, too much self-important. It's all about them. And when the truth comes, they reject it. There's no difference between the church today, or I should say churches out here. There's no difference between them today and the Jews when Jesus came. If Jesus were to arrive here right now in a physical body, he'd be rejected here just as he was there. They would not accept him. And I guarantee he would not come wearing a three-piece suit with a bouffant hairdo. He wouldn't even wear a two-piece suit. When Jesus came, he came as a carpenter's son. Amen? A carpenter's son didn't look like Wall Street. What's the clothes of a carpenter today? T-shirt? Pair of blue jeans? If Jesus were to come today, he'd be wearing blue jeans and a T-shirt. Maybe a button-up shirt. Who knows? He may even wear a sweatshirt in Vermont, but I doubt if he'd come to Vermont. He's a flatlander, remember? Hey, I've had enough. Shut up. You hear me? That's pride, and I've had enough of it. Say anything I want up here. Praise God. All right. Jesus came today. He would not come looking like people would expect him. Neither did he come that back there like they expected him to come. And when he comes into this planet in his body, in his church, he's going to surprise a lot of people. And he's getting that body ready right now. He's getting it ready. I'm going to do this right here. Jesus said unto them, "Have ye understood all these things?" They say unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then said he unto them, "Therefore every scribe which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." Things new and old. If you're going to be instructed in the kingdom of God, if God is going to use you to instruct you, he's going to show you some things that are new as well as things that are old. And when you bring them forth out of your treasure, some things will be old, some things will be new. We are in that place where God is bringing forth the new. It's time for the old to die away. It's time to put back behind you the old things. It's time to put behind you the old thoughts and the old ways. And it's time to take up a new thought and a new way. And that thought is, it's Jesus. All about. It's serving him. It's not caring about this life. You've heard me preach this on and on and on, and I'll never get tired of saying it. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him. Those that make it to heaven overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Got a blood on the forehead. Blood of the Lamb. The word of their testimony, the gospel. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And the saddest thing to me in today is the church does have the first two. Many people out here in the world, in the churches today, they do have the first two. They do have the blood of the Lamb. They do have a testimony. But they love their lives too much. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to come here. I don't want to serve this one. I don't want to serve that one. I want to do it this way. I don't want to do it that way. A servant, if you're a servant of God, what's it to you how you do it or where you? If you're a servant of God, what's it to you how he has you do it? I'll say one thing about Francisco. He's just as happy to serve God in an old beat-up red GMC truck as he would be in a brand-new truck. Doesn't matter to him as long as he's out serving God. Amen? And I'm praying that before we go to Tupper Lake, we'll have him a new truck. Will you agree with me on that? That we'll have him a new truck so he can pull the tent, and we've got a camper down in South Carolina we could put on it so he can have a little shell on the back and be a little turtle going down the road. Stick you do the bald head out every now and then.
Praise God. We got a lot of traveling to do, don't we? We've covered a lot this week. Covered a lot of things this week. I was glad to hear that I'm not the only one getting some of this stuff. Other people are getting it too. It's amazing. It's amazing. While I'm up here preaching this stuff, that dumb son of mine, somehow or another, you know, he can't be as smart as I am or as good as I am. I don't know what's going on there. And he's down there in South Carolina, and God's showing him the same thing. He's preaching the same thing down there. And Cheryl's out there doing exactly what we're preaching about up here. She's everywhere she's going. She's spreading the seed, spreading the word of God. She's gone on fire down there, freaking everybody out. Hallelujah. Maybe I ought to leave here so you can do it. Get out here and start preaching. Don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what they think. Spread the seed. Don't worry about the results. Spread the seed. Oh, but Brother Davey, I might lose my job. So what? Would you rather work for the devil or work for God? I'd rather starve working for God than be a rich man working for Satan. I don't know about you, but I'd rather starve working for God than be a rich man working for Satan. And if you're afraid to spread the seed at work, it's because you are afraid of Satan and not God. I wasn't looking at you as if saying, you know, that was you. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. She can get paranoid sometimes. I don't want to be the cause of it. I'm not pointing anybody out here on this one. If I did, I'd have to point myself out too. See, this is for me too, guys. This isn't just for you, it's for me too. We've all got to get rid of the fears and worries and mental anguishes and the torments and the pride and all the other garbage. You all got to do it. We all got to do it. If I were to stand up here and say I didn't have it, I'd be a liar. I got some of it, and I'm still getting rid of it. Praise God. And how do you get rid of it? Turn into it. When fear comes at you, turn into it. Turn right at it. Do the thing it says don't do. If it says don't do a thing, you go and do that thing. I never will forget, years ago, this little guy, little Jewish boy, about that tall, Hugh Tarzai. Some of you heard this story. Hugh Tarzai, little Jewish boy, accepted Jesus Christ. Man, was his parents mad. You talk about being turned on for Jesus. This boy went home and preached. He went to the synagogue and preached. I mean, they did not like this kid, but it didn't daunt him. He just preached. And one day, Neil Coleman and him and myself, we go down to Lake Eel, down in Orlando, and the Iron Cross motorcycle gang pulled in. We were going to go down there and witness. And he goes and says, let's go witness to those guys. Neil looks at me and I look to him. I said, go ahead. I said, go ahead. The Lord hasn't led me to go. And he wasn't too bright. He took off. And then Neil and I started feeling guilty, you know. We ought to go be witnesses. Maybe we could drive the dead, pull the dead body out and pray over it or something, you know. And he gets out there and he picks this big, bearded, ugly, tattooed dude. And he's looking up at this guy and he walks right up to him and says, you know what? Jesus Christ loves you and so do I. Big, bearded, ugly.
dude. And he goes, boom. Knocked you down on the ground. Said, I don't want to hear that crap. Hugh got up, brushed himself off, and he said, Jesus Christ loves you and so do I. And the guy hit him again. The guy looked at him and said, say that to me again, I'm going to kill you. Hugh sat there for a minute. Wasn't even a minute. Thought about it and got up. And then he said the craziest thing. He said, and I can't say it all in this tent, so I'll try to make it, clean it up a little bit. He says, Jesus Christ loves you, but I hate your SOB and guts. And this guy, we didn't know if he was going to kill him or not. He reached down, grabbed Hugh, and he said, buddy, you're all right. Sit down and tell me about this Jesus. And Hugh sat down with his fat, busted lip and preached the gospel to this guy. And this guy was converted right there, got on his knees with Hugh right there in the parking lot, right there in the park with all of the bikers watching, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, took his colors off, threw them on the ground, lit them up with lighter fluid and burned them, and said, I'm following Jesus. And from that day on, to this day, as far as I know, he still rides his motorcycle for Jesus Christ all over the country preaching to bikers. And that little Hugh Tuck accomplished what none of us could because we were afraid. I knew I'd get a busted lip. Didn't want one. I don't think he thought he'd get a busted lip. I think he just thought he was going to go preach. Now, the second time he did it, he knew he was going to get one. And I believe that Utah's eye thought he was going to die if he told that guy Jesus loved him again. But he loved Jesus more than his life. You understand what I'm saying? If you're going to serve God, you've got to love God more than your life. What's it to me? I had a lady sit in my house when I was living down here. Lady from the state came to sit down. They wanted to put me through surgery and do all kinds of stuff because of my eyes. She said she never met anyone to me like me. Didn't she, Ann? I said, what's it to me if I'm blind or go blind? What's it to me? I'll serve God whether I see or I don't see. I'll serve God if I'm blind or if I'm not blind. What's it to me? I'll serve God if my foot hurts or it doesn't hurt, with false teeth or without them. And if I happen to drop them in the tent and step on them and break them, praise God, I won't have to wear them anymore. Amen. I've just gummed the gospel. You understand? It doesn't matter. And if people are hung up on that kind of stuff, what do you want with them anyway? They're not going to be in heaven. Forget about them. Forget about it. The only ones who are going to make it to heaven are those whose eyes are on Jesus and care about the things of heaven. If they care about whether you wear glasses or don't wear glasses, if they care about what you look like, then they're not going to be there. So why are you worried about it? Why do you run around worrying about what people are going to think about you if they ain't even going to be there? You ever stop and think of it that way? Try that sometimes. Oh, I don't like your attitude. Well, that's all right. You ain't going to be there, so what do I care? Huh? Oh, you're a Jesus freak. Yeah, praise God. I don't know that I like you. That's all right. You ain't going to be in heaven anyway, so what do I care what you think? I ain't going to have to live next to you. You're going to be down there with the other people like you, burning and roasting. We're all going to have long sticks and call you marshmallows. No, that one needs turning, Lord. That's not Bible, but it sounds good if you say it fast. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're worried about what people think that aren't going to be in heaven if they continue to think that way. And how are they going to think another way if you don't show them another way to think? Huh? If you go around thinking the same way they think, how can you show them that you're right? My mother and my grandmother had a saying. My grandmother had a saying. My mother picked it up and used it all the time. She also had a board, but we won't go there. She had a saying, "You're the pot calling the kettle black." They have any such thing like that up here? Pot calling the kettle black. One black pot calling the kettle black. Why do you care? Get wrapped up in Jesus. Make him everything. Walk with without the cares of the world. If you lose your job, praise God. He's got a better one for you. Or he's going to starve you to death and let you get there faster. You know, which way? What does it matter? Oh, but I'll lose my car. So what? Oh, but I'll lose my house. So what? If your house is more important than Jesus, I pray to God you do lose it. If your car is more important than Jesus, I pray to God you do lose it. If your husband is more important than Jesus, I pray to God you lose him. If your wife is more important than Jesus, I pray to God you lose her. If your children are more important to you than Jesus, I pray to God you lose them. Lest a man hate his father, mother, sister, brother, wife, even children for my sake, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. Isn't that what it says? And his own life also. Thank you. I like it when you're right. I didn't say I liked you. I said I liked it right. I love you, but that doesn't mean I like you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. I don't know if I want to come to the next one. Hallelujah. You know, every year, if you noticed, each revival we do in the summer gets better and better and better. So you guys are getting, yeah, okay. We're going to have a good one at Tupper Lake. That's going to be a good one. And Winchester's going to be even better. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be better. When I leave here, guess what? Jesus will still be here. His Spirit will still be here. Amen? And you can do all things through him. Doesn't say you can do all things through Richard Utzler, does it? Hallelujah. Ain't that great? But you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth you. You don't need me. You need him. I'm just a voice out here flapping my tater trap telling you to wake up, get it right, believe the word. Get rid of your pride and your emotions and, God, you're not treating me the way you should treat me and you haven't given me what I should deserve. If God gave us what we deserve, folks, you wouldn't like it. If God gave me what I deserved, I would be yelling and screaming. And if he gave you what you deserved, you'd be yelling and screaming right there beside me. And probably be pointing our fingers at one another, blaming each other for us getting what we deserve. Because even there, you will not learn it. Even there, it's your fault. It's not God's fault, and it's not your neighbor's fault, and it's not your mama's fault, and it's not your daddy's fault, and it's not your kid's fault, it's not the government's fault, it's not the fault of the person next door. If you go to hell, it's your own fault. No one can make you go to hell. No one. And nothing anybody does can make you go to hell. Nothing. That's your decision, your choice. You want to put your faith in men, you put your faith in men. And when they fall and you're, oh, I just lost my faith, then praise God, that's your own stupid fault. You know, sometimes I do things on purpose just to keep you people off balance. Some things I do just to keep you off balance so you don't believe in me. I don't want you to